This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and I want to give you a little heads up on something here. At the start of the lesson here, I will be mentioning two different dates. One will be the date that the message was first published, and the second date will be the date that the message was transcribed, if you will, to audio. The reason why I'm giving you the dates is because during the reading of this message, I might make mention of some people, places, things, or events that were relevant at the time that the message was first published, which may or may not be relevant for today. And if that is the case, if I can remember, I'll try to give you a heads up on it. However, let me say this. When it comes down to the Word of God, His word is always relevant yesterday, today, and forever. It never ceases to be relevant. And those of you that are exposed to it would do well to take heed to it and to adjust your lives accordingly. The message for this session was first published in the month of February of the year 2016, and it's being put on audio in the month of September of the year 2024. That's about 8.5 years a difference from the time it was published until it is being put on audio. Now, our subject scriptures are Proverbs chapter 29 and verse number 18, and Hosea chapter 4 and verse number 6. If you have the scriptures available, you will find these words recorded. In Proverbs 29 and 18, you see, "Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." The scripture in Hosea says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children." Title for this message is No Vision, No Future. This is part number 2 of a 12-part message. Now, when I left off last month, I was beginning to explain some of the factors that go into pursuing a vision. Those factors were time and money. Depending on just what it is and the amount of time and money it would cost, it might be something that one might want to give up on, because in the end, it would not be worth it. However, if there is some great benefit for pursuing that goal, then time and cost become second place to the fulfillment of that vision. As I mentioned last month, any vision that man comes up with will essentially be limited to what he can see and come up with to make it come to pass. On the other hand, if God is the author of that vision, then He will provide all the things needed for it to be obtained. Obviously, it is better to pursue a vision provided by God than one that man comes up with, because it is going to come to pass no matter what circumstances happen to come about. If we look at God's record of fulfilling all things He promised, He is batting 100%. Show me anything that man, without God's help, has actually brought to function that has not come with all sorts of problems. The Bible says in Proverbs 14 and 12 and Proverbs 16 and 25, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the way of death or loss." Why is this, you ask? Because man can't see beyond his own reality. His vision is limited to what is addressed in the second subject scripture, which simply says that because of a lack of knowledge, he is destroyed. That lack of knowledge is talking about, in this case, a lack of knowledge of God. If you don't know God, then you can't recognize what is or is not of God, and as a result, you will, 99 times out of 100, choose the wrong things and thusly suffer and be destroyed. According to man's wisdom, many things that God says we should be doing in order to be blessed and prosper are racist, bigoted, homophobic, and just plain mean-spirited and foolish. A story that shows how we in the flesh view things is the story where God tells Abraham to take his son Isaac, that he had waited for more than 20 years, and offer him up as a sacrifice to him. In the natural sense of the situation, this was totally asinine for Abraham to go through with. If you will remember the movie in which Abraham, played by George C. Scott, when told to do this, you see him having a fit, cursing, and a bunch of other things before finally going through with it. Seems logical to us for him to do this. However, the Bible tells us a different story. It tells us that Abraham went through with it because he knew God's promise, meaning God had given him the vision of this child being the one that would make him, Abraham, the father of many nations. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 17, we find that the scripture says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, that he had and that he had received the promises, offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called." In verse number 19, "Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence he also received him in a figure." Here you see the vision that God gave him, and his knowledge of God gave him a clear vision of the result of whatever God told him to do would still end up with him getting what was promised to him. Abraham considered the cost and acted on it. Let's look at our Savior, Christ. From before the world was created, God's plan for our salvation was already in place. And since Christ was with the Father when he put forth his vision, Christ had this vision in mind when he opted to come down here and go through all the mess that he went through, knowing what the outcome of his not going through with it would be. Can you imagine what it would be like if there was no plan for our salvation? Talk about no hope. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting at verse number 17 says, "And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." You see, in both these instances, there wasn't any direct threat to make any of them decide to keep in line with God's vision, other than seeing that doing so was worth it. When I have to deal with all of the flack I get from people for being too religious, as they call it, and the name calling and the personal attacks, I consider the promise, the vision, and that encourages me to keep on going. Those that don't know him or his promises tend to take the path of, I have to do what I have to do to get ahead. That type of mentality is what gets us into all types of trouble, because we end up relying on our own resources and view of what we think is best for us without seeing things through God's eyes. This then brings up another question, which I would say is the second thing that needs to be considered, and that is, how do these visions come about? They usually come about, as I mentioned earlier, because of a need. Pick any situation in life, be it health, sports, economic, relationships, future, or you name it. There is always something that presents itself in our lives that will cause us to have to come up with some action that we feel or hope that will get us past it. The vision, hope, or goal is getting past it. To the average person, their solution to reach that goal is to use what is readily available. When I say readily available, I mean what can be derived from all of the known resources in this present world. If there are none, then the vision dies. For example, A person with a disease that is incurable has no vision of overcoming that disease because there is nothing available for them to build that vision on. They have to accept the fact that that disease will eventually take their lives. There are people that over the year, rather than suffer with their ailment, have opted to kill themselves, sometimes with the help of others, just to escape the suffering they may or will endure. This is the only vision they have. Why? Because that is what all the medical professionals and others have told them. And with nothing to counter what they have been told, they will languish and die. That is the limit of their vision. For the Christian, however, it's a whole different ball game. Take the exact same situation talked about above. The disease is incurable according to the knowledge of man. There is no resource to turn to that can begin to offer a vision of overcoming that ailment. However, that is not the end of the story, because we have a resource that cannot be manipulated by the realities of this physical realm, but rather he manipulates it through his word. Throughout the Bible, especially in the Gospels, we see examples of people in conditions where there is absolutely no hope, including when death has ended a life. People sought out Christ to do something. The reason they sought him out was someone had to tell them something about him to give them the vision to get past all of the obstacles that stood in their way. The woman with the issue of blood in Mark chapter 5, verse 25 through 34, and Lazarus in St. John chapter 11, verse 1 through 45, are classic examples in that when extreme circumstances presented themselves where the average person, and unfortunately a lot of Christians, would give up, these people, in one case the woman herself, and in the other the sister of Lazarus, sought him because they had a vision that showed them victory. That is what makes the difference between being victorious in all of your circumstances or just hanging on. In both examples, there was no hope, at least as far as any rational thinking person would say. That's as good as it gets, or it's too late. Listen, with Jesus Christ, it is never too late, even when death has taken a loved one. The Gospels, among other things, give testimony from witnesses that were there when these things happened. What better source to build a vision on than that of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? However, that was then, and as many would say, this is now. the implications from that statement make it appear that what happened in the times of Christ was either fiction or not for this time or dispensation. If ever there was a statement that served no purpose but to kill the message of the gospel, this one is it. When people are being led to believe that all those miracles that are mentioned in both the Old and New Testaments are relegated to the past and not for today, that removes any source or foundation on which a vision can be built. How many times have you heard a person or a Christian say, "This is the 21st century"? What they are saying is being obedient to God, keeping the Ten Commandments, living a godly life is old-fashioned and out of date. Well, what would you say if I told you then that quoting all those favorite scriptures, reciting the Lord's Prayer, the Psalms 23 or 119 are also out of date? What if I told you God was out of date? The Bible tells us that God does not change. Look at Malachi chapter 3 verse number 6 and Hebrews 13 verse number 8. That means He rewards obedience and disobedience today as He did back then. Read Deuteronomy chapter number 28, the entire chapter. Anybody that tries to tell you any different is someone that wants you to stay in the same rut that they are in. They have no vision of what obedience will bring them, and therefore they don't want you to have one either, because to them it is hogwash. The realities of what is going on in this nation and the world are screaming this to be true. Every nation, city, community, or individual that has chosen to adhere to what God through Christ has said we should do has always come out on top of whatever came about to hinder or defeat them. By the same token, those that chose to do the opposite ended up being destroyed back then and today. If you think Christians are above trying to keep someone from getting blessed by or too close to Christ, then you need to read what His disciples did when some people had the vision of having their children blessed by Him. They, His disciples, rebuked them. Read Mark chapter number 10, verses 13 through 16. Jesus was displeased by them and scolded them. Today, the same thing is going on in many churches. Someone gets on fire for God, and some members and even the pastor quench it out of them, saying it doesn't take all that. That is why people are leaving the church and searching for other sources of satisfaction, because there is no vision of what the church is supposed to be about, and that is being a witness as to what total devotion to Christ is all about. In the book of Revelations, chapter number 12, verse number 11, we are told that the saints, those standing before Christ receiving their rewards did so by providing testimony and not being swayed or ashamed of living for Christ no matter what. Let's look at the testimony of today's realities. I will have to put that off until next month. Suffice it to say, there are plenty of things going on in today's reality to give anyone willing to get out of their godless mindset, examine the facts. They will get the vision of what is waiting down the road and where their hope should be placed. Well, that's the end of this part of our message. And like I say, we've got, since this is a 12-part message, that means we've got 10 more parts to go through. And I'm going to refrain from making commentary at the end of each one, basically because of the fact that it's all still basically going to be the same thing. So I'll just wait till I get to the end of the final part and then make my commentary. But the whole thing is, we need to get in our minds a vision of God and how things work in the spirit realm so that we can be able to deal with things that happen to us in this physical realm, seeing that anything that happens in this physical realm has its roots in the spiritual realm. If we can get that down pat, then everything else will fall in place. Well, this is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and I'm saying to you and yours, until we get together for another message from the Word of God, may God bless you and your families real good. Until then, good day.